This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Score evenings, weeknight 6 till 9.
I honestly don't care. It's not, you know, like I said, we're all of those things were in the past. All of the things happen already. And so we're here focused on the future. We're here focused on the present and really trying to, like I said, get this train going and you know, have this thing picking up steam and choo-chooing along.
Choo-chooing along as we are here on the Score Evening Show with me, Rami Makhlouf, with you until 9 o'clock. That was Caleb Williams talking about the Seth Wickersham book and the excerpts that came out with his dad talking to Seth Wickersham about possibly forcing their way out of Chicago leading up to the draft last year, and saying he doesn't care if this remains a story and stays out there. He's addressed it. He admitted it was a distraction, but he addressed it, says he's ready to move on, as are we, after we talk about it with Cassie Carlson of Fox Chicago, also the host of the offseason Bears Game Day Live. She's most of the Bears coverage over there at Fox Chicago, and she joins me now on the Circa Casino Hotline, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Download the Circa Sports app today. Cassie, how are you this evening?
I'm doing great. How are you? I love that Caleb Williams decided to go with train references this season. So we're just choo-chooing along, I guess.
Just choo-chooing along, Cassie. That's what we're doing. Before I get to your reaction to what Caleb said about that story, what was your reaction to that story when it first came out? Because after the first couple of days, I don't know about you, Cassie, I was getting a lot of just move on, why are you still talking about this, from Bears fans, and I felt like it was something that needed to be talked about, at least until Caleb Williams answered some questions.
Yeah, for all the fans that said it's a non-story, I just disagree wholeheartedly. Anytime you have your quarterback in the news discussing potentially finding ways around getting out of being drafted number one overall by the Bears, that is going to be a story. Whether it happened in the past and what they tried to get around ended up not being anything or not, like, those were thoughts that were in his head and in his dad's head. And his dad is his agent, and therefore they are tied together wholeheartedly because of that. So I remember it very vividly because it was a Thursday. Mark Grody was coming in to shoot a segment for the off season, and it happened like 20 minutes before we started shooting. We're like, well, good thing this came out before this, because it gave us plenty to talk about. I thought the most damning thing in the article was when he talked about the film and not knowing how to watch film, and he cleared that up. Or tried to clear it up, I guess you could say, this past week when he spoke. But I just thought that really was said it all about Shane Waldron and Matt Eberflus. Like, clearly from the article, you knew that he didn't fully trust that they were the right coaches to be coaching him. And I found that interesting because when Shane Waldron was hired as offensive coordinator, there were stories out there that part of the reason they brought him in was because he had a relationship apparently with Caleb Williams through QB Collective when he was much younger. So that to me was the biggest thing that stood out there, that he was just kind of left in the dark in his rookie season. And that at the end of the day kind of falls on Ryan Poles too, for allowing that to happen and not having a veteran quarterback in the room with your rookie quarterback. So, I mean, it was never a non-story for me. And I still think, like, if the Bears end up losing this season, it's going to continue to be a story that follows Caleb Williams. I mean, there's quotes in there that said, you know, Chicago is where quarterbacks go to die. And if Caleb Williams can't get off the ground in his quarterback career, yeah, that story is going to follow him the rest of it.
The thing about film watching, and I played Caleb's response to that earlier in the show, and it felt like he felt a need to defend himself, like to come out and go, hey guys, I know how to watch film. I wanted to get better at it, and that's what I was looking for from my coaches. I don't know about you, that's when I read that story, that was damning to Shane Waldron and Matt Eberflus,
right?
And I totally understood what Caleb Williams was looking for at the NFL level and learning how to be even better at watching film and doing it at another level. Wasn't that how you took the story? Did you think that was an indictment against Caleb Williams?
No, I don't think it was an indictment against him at all. I think it all fell back on the coaching staff. I think maybe the Bears and everyone in general involved in the situation lost sight of the fact that Caleb Williams was a rookie. And yes, he was called a generational talent. Like, that label was put on him before he was even drafted or before he played an NFL snap. And he earned, you know, some of the talk about that from his play in his high school career, then in his college career. But there is a huge jump from when you're going to college and to the NFL. And he said that himself many times during last season. He's used to being the best player on the field, and now you're going against guys on defense that have been in the league for 12 years. Like, they're smarter than he is. And they may not be more athletic than he is, but they know the game more than he does. And a lot was thrown on Caleb Williams. Remember when we had those conversations early on in his rookie season of, you know, everything he was handling at the line of scrimmage? Was that the right decision to make with a rookie quarterback with an offensive line that you didn't feel too confident about? And everyone said, no, throw it all on him at once and see how he handles it. And I think, like, it was a little bit exposed in this article and as that season went on that he needed help along the way and he shouldn't have had to do it all by himself. So, I mean, the Bears are at fault for doing that and not giving him the proper resources. And I don't think there's any shame in Caleb Williams admitting that he didn't know the most efficient ways to watch film. Like, Case Keenum came in there the other day and he's in, what, his 13th NFL season. He is a backup quarterback. That is his job. And his job is going to be to help Caleb Williams, show him the ropes. And he's already apparently doing that with extra time they have meeting and watching film together. But I it's okay to ask questions and it's okay not to have all the answers. That's where I think the growth comes from. So hopefully Caleb Williams feels now like he has the resources around him to be able to ask those people those questions, because I also get a sense that he didn't respect the coaches. So maybe he didn't feel like they had the answers for him either. Therefore, he didn't necessarily want to ask them either.
Talking with Cassie Carlson of Fox Chicago here on the Score Evening Show with Rami Makhlouf. And now that we've sort of gone through the story and what led up to Caleb Williams at the podium a couple days ago, I don't know about you, but as I said when I was bringing you on, he answered all the questions I want to hear answered. He said what I wanted to hear. He cleared up my curiosities about this story and how it came to light. I'm ready to move on, and I was totally satisfied with what I heard from Caleb Williams at the podium the other day. How about you?
Yeah, I think he handled it very maturely. You know, this guy is 23 years old, and he went out there, and he didn't deny anything. Like, I think that's the best
right.
thing he could have done.
Yep.
It's just say, this all happened. Yes, these were valid thoughts. And I kind of think he echoed a little bit of what his dad was saying, too, in the article. Like, I mean, if your son was going through this and – you know, he's a businessman to begin with, and Caleb Williams was already a multimillionaire by the time the draft came along. Like, you would have all these considerations too. And he owned up to the Vikings and Kevin O'Connell. He was like, this guy's a coach of the year. I mean, Caleb Williams is a quarterback. Of course he's going to be interested in playing for a guy like that. I appreciated that he just said, this is what happened. He talked for 4 minutes. He answered every single question. And I felt like it was all honest. And he made it clear that, like, after that Bears meeting, like, he wanted to be the one to come to Chicago and change the narrative around quarterbacks. And I think you have to respect that he wants the challenge and he welcomes that. And he's always talked about that he's playing for legacy and to be one of the greatest of all time. And if he can achieve that in Chicago, he will be. So I think he appreciates that challenge and is welcoming it and is tried to, you know, make himself one with the people here in Chicago and buy into the culture and the Bears. And I think that's like a stand-up move by him, and good by him for not letting it linger, because he did call it a distraction. And a week earlier, Ben Johnson also nailed it by coming out and addressing it. But then you had his teammates answering questions about it. And I just never felt like it was fair for teammates to be answering questions on behalf of their quarterback. And it was the quarterback story to tell. So I think we can move on. However, I do think, you know, as I said before, if the winning does not come, this story will continue to linger.
Talking with Cassie Carlson of Fox Chicago here on the Score Evening Show. And one of the things that's got Caleb Williams sort of buying in, at least now, to the Chicago Bears, and that they can turn this around, and he won't be the latest quarterback to quote unquote die here in Chicago as his new head coach, Ben Johnson. And that relationship seems like it's off to a really, really good start and first step, Cassie.
Well, and you saw that when Ben Johnson was hired. It was the story Caleb Williams told when he was driving in his car, got a FaceTime from someone, and he let out like multiple screams. Like, that's the guy he wanted. He even right. said that, I think, at one point towards the end of the season. Like, he wanted the offensive-minded guru who revived Jared Goff's career, a former number one overall pick, and that was putting up top three numbers in the league the last 3 years, and he got that. And so you got the sense right away when that hire was made that Caleb Williams was a different level of bought in. Him showing up to the press conference was a big deal. Him, you know, going around and doing these interviews talking about Ben Johnson is a big deal. And even if you talk to Ben Johnson, it's easy to see why Caleb Williams is bought in. Like, the guy is easy to get along with, and also very captivating, I think, in the way that he speaks, one, to us, so I imagine the same way in a meeting room. And I think back to Matt Eberflus of how he lost this team and whether or not he even had it to begin with, is that he probably stepped into that first team meeting and never really set the tone of what this team was going to be, what their full identity was going to be, and had people like buy into it and get behind him. Like, there was always a little bit of like phoniness there with it, with its the hits principle, et cetera. And Ben Johnson doesn't have any of that. This guy is like a football guy. And I think it's an interesting personality he has, because he's the analytics guy, but he's also this like old school intense coach that we've now seen on the field multiple times. Like, week one of OTAs, we saw him get after Cole Kmet, which I don't think anyone thought they would ever see that happen. And I don't know the last time Cole Kmet was ever yelled at a football practice, right? Then it was this past week where we saw it again. He didn't like the operation of the huddle, and before they could even break it, he screamed out some profanity. He was like, do it again. So I think he's setting the tone early of what the expectations should be, and they are seeking perfection. And I also think the body language thing that we've since learned about in the past week plays into that. And I loved his quote of, we don't want to be a palms up team that shown signs of weakness. Like, these guys want to go onto the field and believe that they can go and win every single game, and they know exactly what to do and how the operation should look. And it's smooth from play caller Ben Johnson getting the play into Caleb Williams, to him going to the huddle, to getting to the line of scrimmage and getting the playoff. Those are operations that did not work smoothly last year. So I think that's all the Ben Johnson effect, and the intensity has shown up. It's with him, it's with the assistant coaches like Eric Bieniemy, who I love listening to every practice. And I think the players right now, they're feeding off of it. They feel like this is what they asked for when they didn't have accountability and coaching they wanted last year, and now they have it.
Yeah, I remember we talked shortly after Ben Johnson was hired, and you sat down with him one-on-one for Fox 32, and I asked you then, it's a first impression, you know, you don't have a ton to go on, but beyond the football, I asked you, did he seem like he had the it factor that a coach needs to lead a team of 53 football players? So far, it seems like, and you talked about the intensity, Cassie, so far it seems like he is sort of trying to prove that he has a handle on that facet of coaching as well, and bringing a different level of intensity and clarity to practice in terms of what he expects from his players.
Yeah, and I think it goes beyond the practice field too. Like, even in conversations that I've had with him before interviews or small talk after, like, he's just really easy to talk to. And I think that's important too when you're dealing with a locker room and a roster of 53 guys, just like being a normal guy that you can have a conversation with. You know, Case Keenum said he didn't really have any true connections directly to Ben Johnson, just people that he had played for or some of his previous coaches being like, yeah, I know him. And they were supposed to have a 15-minute conversation that turned into an hour-long conversation that went into where he should live, where his kids should go to school. Like, that's just Ben Johnson, and he's like very easy to talk to. And I think that's important too. Like, you look around some of the coaches in the league that are like, you know, people like playing for, Mike Tomlin, like just guys that are easy to get along with. I mean, you're around them a lot. And so you have to be able to relate to them on a football level, but I think also on like a life daily basis level. And I think Ben Johnson checks that box in itself. So yes, and I think that's why you can then play into the intensity, right? It's a player coach relationship. It's on the field, it's off the field, and he's noted many a times that, you know, it takes time to build those relationships off the field, but that's why he's able to coach these guys hard. And I think that if that translates into winning, these guys are all going to appreciate him immensely.
Cassie, I'm gonna have a discussion about something that we've heard a lot already out of OTAs and mini camps in the 8 o'clock hour that Ben Johnson is changing the culture. And a quick preview of my reaction to that in the 8 o'clock hour, and this is no indictment on Ben Johnson, but as a Bears fan, as a lifelong Bears fan, and having heard from regime change to regime change, whether it's a GM or a coach or whatever the case might be, that they're changing the culture, I think I'm going to roll my eyes at that type of talk until I actually see it play out in a locker room and on a football field. Are you completely sold that Ben Johnson is here to change the culture and can actually do that?
Okay, so I get why you roll your eyes, and I also will admit I drink the Kool-Aid every single year, and it's about like end of training camp where I'm like talking to people at practice, and I'm like, I guess you like got to keep in mind that we haven't seen, like, we've only seen the Bears practice. We haven't seen any other team practice. So you're in this like fishbowl of it's Bears, Bears, Bears. And you're like, oh, the Bears, like, they're going to be great, right? Like, they have a new coach. They have Caleb Williams with the offensive minded coach. They upgrade the offensive line. They add in a new defensive coordinator. And then it's like, oh, week one comes around. You're like, oh, I guess we like literally were only watching the Bears and we lost sight of all these other teams. Now I will say, yeah. Like with Matt Eberflus and culture, like, okay, how did you feel about the hits principle when you first heard it the first time? You
probably
rolled your eyes at that too.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I rolled my eyes at that. Yeah. I think I've been rolling my eyes since at least Matt Nagy.
This is different because that to me is like, I'm like, really? Like, we're dealing with grown men here and we're going to throw out an acronym, HITS, and it's like SMART is S. Like, what?
Yeah, it didn't even make a lot of sense. Yeah.
It did not make a lot of sense. And I don't know what it's like to be an NFL head coach. I feel like Ben Johnson's is more authentic and just being like a hard-nosed, intense guy. It's not so much the rah-rah, like, we're going to be this. It's like, no, we're going to be intense, and we're going to be detail-oriented, and we're going to go and do whatever it takes to win games. I don't know. It doesn't feel as phony to me. It feels genuine, and it feels like, I mean, shoot, I'm bought into it. And I don't, as you can probably hear, like, I'm like, yeah, it's cool right now. And it is great because we're grasping at straws after coming off a second 10-game losing streak in the past 3 years. It's like, all right, yeah, cool. This, like, I'm believing in this guy to get the job done. And, you know, maybe that changes when training camp rolls along. We haven't talked to that many players, but it's like, everyone's feeling the sense of newness. You know, they're learning the new playbook, even the defense, and Montez Sweat showing up to practice and being like, I felt like I needed to be here because I had a disappointing year last year and I have a new defensive coordinator whose system is more complex and I need to learn it. Like, I think he understands that, like, this maybe has a different feel. I want to come and prove it to this coaching staff. And so I feel like the players are bought into it a little bit more too.
And I'm here for a culture change, and I was here for the Ben Johnson hire. He was the guy I wanted them to hire as a head coach. So again, it's nothing against Ben Johnson that I roll my eyes when I hear that. It's just a lifetime as a Bears fan, and hearing that, I don't know how many times, only to never see it come to fruition. If there is going to be a culture change, though, Cassie, one thing that I believe is that I think a lot of people look at this Bears roster and go, man, much better than 5 wins. And I go, maybe Maybe talent-wise it is, but there's last year there was something like rotten to the core about that team, and it goes down all the way to their culture. And I heard some people talking about Aaron Glenn the other day, who is Ben Johnson's counterpart as defensive coordinator in Detroit, and the job that he has ahead of him in New York. And they referenced when he went to Detroit with Dan Campbell, and they said the first year was all about figuring out who was going to be a part of this thing and who fit their culture and weeding out the guys who aren't. How much roster weeding do you think there is to do with the Chicago Bears to make sure that this is a Ben Johnson group of football players and everybody is as bought in as Cassie Carlson is?
Well, I think Ben Johnson, like he, you know, his, what is it? No block, no rock quote that's gone viral and will be put on a t-shirt, I'm sure. Like, I think like stuff like that, he will be very quick to give people less playing time if they're not playing the way he wants them to play. I don't think he cares. I think he's so bought into winning that like, he's like, you know what? I don't care who you are. If you're not living and playing up to the standard and doing all the things we ask, you will not see the field. And those are the standards and the accountability that players were craving last year. Even Jalen Johnson, I remember in the locker room, one of the last weeks, someone asked him how he views accountability. And he said, playing time. Like he said, I think people need to get the message sent to them by not playing. And you could point to a Tyreek Stevenson situation that was mishandled by the coaching staff in a lot of ways by not being quick to come out and say what the consequences were going to be for the fail Mary. And I think Ben Johnson will very quickly make those decisions. And I also think maybe some of the, it's more so the players they brought in that will mitigate that in some ways, because you could argue, I mean, think about it. They had 8 captains last year. So to me, that means they had no leaders on that team. They were grasping for straws of who could be the leader in the locker room. And they were like, let's get this group of guys together. And in my opinion, a rookie quarterback shouldn't be a captain. And so I think now with guys like Grady Jarrett, Joe Tooney, like Grady Jarrett's going to be a vocal leader and someone who's seen it for 12 years, all in one team, and he's going to come into this locker room on that D line and show these guys how to practice and how to prepare, how to keep their bodies right for an entire season. And then you have Joe Tooney, who I think people were thinking automatically he would come in and be this leader. And I think what we've learned is Joe Tooney's not a vocal leader. This is a leader by example. And because of his resume, winning Super Bowls with both Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes, people on that offensive line are going to gravitate towards him. And he even said, like, he's staying after meetings and answering questions, more one-on-one time with guys than being the one to stand up in front of a room. So I'm hopeful that it's the guys they brought in that set the standard for what it should look like to be a true pro and to play to the standard of what Ben Johnson says needs to be done. And I believe in the no block, no rock. Like, Ben Johnson's like, all right, you're not going to play for your team. You're going to stay in it for yourself. Like, you're not going to play. And I think that if that happens, I truly believe that his style of coaching, and from what I've heard, we will see that.
That is Cassie Carlson, Fox Chicago anchor, Bears reporter, host of the offseason, Bears Game Day Live, the Bears Blitz, and lots of good Bears content at Cassie Carlson TV on Twitter. Cassie, really appreciate the time. Keep choo-chooing along with all the great work over there at Fox.
Yeah, keep choo-chooing along. The train is
thank
moving
you, Cassie.
Forward. Rami, thank you.
Appreciate it. And she joins me on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Download the Circa Sports app today. She brought up the body language conversation when it comes to Caleb Williams, something Ben Johnson feels they need to work on. Was that even a problem? We'll discuss that right after this. Robbie Maklof, Score Evening Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
This Pride Month, Risk has stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. Go get the Risk podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Score.
I think part of it is just, you know, different coaches have different philosophies for things. And, you know, that's one of his things is left foot up. I've been a right foot up guy for typically all of my career. And I think I've done it once or twice throughout my, you know, throughout my time of playing QB. So, you know, it's just one of his things. And then, like I said, the details, being on top of it, huddle, we call it PSP, but pre-snap procedure, all these different things matter. And especially in big games and big moments, all the little things come up. And so, you know, I think you know, that's important to him and it's important to us. And we got to, you know, we got to get on top of it and be on top of it from the head down. So, like I said, the Ben Johnson effect, I guess, right?
That's Caleb Williams, but you knew that. Bears quarterback talking about the changes that his new head coach and offensive coordinator, de facto offensive coordinator, is trying to put in place, both in his technique, pre-snap procedures, and all that stuff. I love that, man. I love that he's really breaking it down to the finest of details and to the very basics and from the very start of this is what we're gonna do as soon as your feet hit that field, in terms of getting ready for the first play and the next play and the next play after that, and not taking anything for granted that Caleb Williams knows how to do, is proficient at, or not being afraid to change something about Caleb Williams, like the whole left foot front, right foot front thing that he was talking about right there. I love what I've heard about Ben Johnson and the changes that he's trying to put in for this offense and for the quarterback that we all hope is the savior of this organization, or at the very least the first guy to throw for 4,000 yards. I love all of what I'm hearing about Ben Johnson and his work with Caleb Williams to this point. There was one thing he brought up that he felt like Caleb needed to improve on, that I was like, really? I didn't think that was a problem. There were plenty of problems last year with Caleb and everything else Chicago Bears, but I didn't really see a problem with that department of Caleb Williams' game, and it was his body language. And this is something that Ben Johnson is talking about for the whole team, but specifically he talked about Caleb Williams and some of his body language as the season played out the way it played out last year, and how that could be improved on. Here was Ben Johnson talking about the body language of his quarterback and his football team.
We've talked to the entire team about what we want it to look like, what good teams do, what playoff teams do. This is the example we're setting, and this is the direction we're going. So the good news is this: we have a phenomenal coaching staff, a lot of which were former players in this league and did it at the highest level. And what they say carries weight with our guys. They know what it looks like. We have a number of guys that we brought in free agency this year that they know what good football looks like as well. So, it's all about educating, showing them what we're going to be about going into next season. Early in the process, we sat down and we watched some tape from a year ago, and we talked it through. It's like, do we really want to? Is this what we want to look like or not? And we come to an agreement. No, it's not. And okay, we learn from it. And we move on to the next thing. So, it's body language is a huge thing. Demeanor. We don't want to be a palms up team where we're questioning every. No. That's a little bit of a sign of weakness, and we don't want to exhibit that from anybody on the team.
That was Ben Johnson talking about watching tape with Caleb Williams. And talking about his body language and how that can be better, and something as I said, and you heard Ben Johnson say right there, he's addressed with the whole team, and something he wants the whole team to work on. And man, there was some bad body language with this football team last year. Like remember DJ Moore just running off the field? He later said it was because of an injury that he had suffered, but he came right back on the field the next series after he just ran off the field while the play was still going. Caleb Williams was scrambling, and DJ Moore just ran off the field and went and sat on the bench. That was an issue in terms of body language. And body language is something that I watch, that I look for, and it can bother me if it's the wrong kind of body language. But I didn't think. Tell me if I'm wrong. 312-644-6767. And very small thing. Okay, this is a very small thing. And Adam, I don't know if you noticed anything. Yes, there were moments last year where Caleb Williams looked frustrated or defeated. But how could you not? Like, to me, the guy who bothers me, and I'm not naming anyone in particular, and I don't think I noticed anyone on the Bears last year who would fit this description, where anything that goes wrong, he's palms up, as Ben Johnson said, or he's looking around like who did that, why, or yelling at a teammate, or pointing at somebody, or getting into it with somebody on the sidelines when every little thing sets a guy off. Like I didn't watch a lot of Aaron Rodgers in his brief stint in New York, which was basically one season after his Achilles blowed up in his first season there. But I know his last couple of years in Green Bay, it seemed that way, that even though they were a team that was winning football games and a very productive offense, anything that went wrong and Aaron Rodgers was palms up or yelling at somebody or saying something to Matt LaFleur or prior to him, Mike McCarthy, as he was running off the field, Caleb Williams showed some frustration and some just exhaustion or signs of defeat last year. But man, how could you not? You know what I mean? Like when things are that bad, and I see a guy like Ben Johnson says it's a sign of weakness when you show that. It's a sign of weakness, and especially mental weakness, if, as I said, every time every little thing goes wrong, you got some kind of body language or something negative to say to somebody, that's a sign of weakness, mental weakness. But it's just, to me, that it was a sign of being human last year when Caleb Williams, dude, he was sacked 68 times. Forget losing 12 games and 10 in a row in your rookie year and having, you know, essentially no head coach or offensive coordinator showing you the way or guiding you. He got sacked 68 times. How do you not show some signs of frustration or defeat, even if you're not doing it like actively or consciously? How do you not let some of that show and come out in your appearance and the way that you're reacting to things? If Caleb Williams didn't show any signs of frustration or defeat last year, I might have been like, man, is this dude a robot or does he just not care? I don't know how anybody goes through what Caleb Williams went through last year and doesn't show something that one might interpret as negative body language. And again, like I said, This is something I'm aware of. This is something I had to work on early in my radio career. Like anything that would go wrong, technically or whatever the case might be, and I would blow up a little bit. And coworkers of mine had to sit me down and be like, hey, man, you can't do that. That was a lesson I needed. I don't think Caleb Williams really needed that lesson. At least I can't gauge it off of last year. Let me see Caleb Williams when things are like average or better. And let me see if he's showing that same kind of body language. Last year, I would question anybody who didn't show some sign of frustration with the way that Bears season played out. I know I was throwing things in my house. I don't know about you, and I know I'm not on the field, and I'm not setting an example for teammates or anything like that. But I was throwing stuff. Nothing that was going to break anything. You know what I mean? I keep socks around. I keep rolled up socks so I can throw them in frustration when I'm watching the Bears, because I know I'm going to be frustrated, and I'm going to want to throw things and punch things and be angry.
I keep a bottle of whiskey around personally.
That works too. That works too. That's. Less body language and more just your actions, Adam. But we all cope in our own way. And I'm just saying, I didn't really have a big problem with what I saw from Caleb Williams body language-wise last season. I don't know about you. You can get in on the show at 312-644-6767. Let me go out to those phones and go to Adam in Lake County. You're on the Score. What's up, Adam?
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Great.
Good. I just wanted to say, you know, it's no secret here that the Bears are notorious for, you know, their lack of expertise when it comes to quarterbacks and quarterback coaching. And
sure.
So it is nice to see that probably Caleb Williams' body language has been a blend of what actually happened on the field, but also as a result of the fact that he had not been in a, let's call it professional quarterback organization. Let's call it
right.
That. So a mix of both. And so I'm actually great that he's sticking around for a second year and that he didn't get injured the first year. That's all I'll say. Thanks.
Appreciate the call. Dude, I was so scared of that. At one point last year, I got to the point of just let him watch the rest of the season. I don't want him to get – and it was that Lions game where he tried to pull the old okey-doke of pulling up like he was going to run out of bounds and then stayed in bounds. And I forget who the Lions player was, but chopped him down at the legs. And I was like, well, there goes Caleb Williams, not just for this season, but for most of next season. And he popped up just a couple of seconds later. But I thought that was it. And at one point last year, I did reach that point of let's just shut him down for the season and call it a loss and start from scratch next year. Back to the drawing board and we'll get this thing right next year, hopefully. But yeah, I didn't, everything that he went through last year, man, I get that body language. That wasn't a sign of weakness or immaturity to me at all. Let anybody go through what Caleb Williams went through last year, and I think they're going to show a little something. Got to get to a quick break. I'll keep taking your calls on this or anything you want to talk about Bears, 312-644-6767. But I have the old Twitters open, and Luis Robert Jr., showed up in that little trending column there on the right of my page, and not for good reasons. We'll talk about that right after this. Rami Makhlouf, it's the Score Evening Show right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
This Pride Month, Risk has stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. Go get the Risk podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Score.
I think right now, as my season is going, I don't think anybody's going to take a chance on me. You know, I just focus on, you know, in trying to get better. I can't think of anything else.
That was Luis Robert Jr. through a translator about 1 week ago and asked about the possibility of being traded. The White Sox center fielder, as I said before the break, I was on the Twitter. I know it's not called that anymore. That's just what I call it. I was on the Twitter and I saw in that trending column over there on the right, which I don't know how they determine anymore what's trending, because it used to be what was actually trending and now stuff is just over there. It seems like people want me to see, but I digress. Luis Robert was trending, and I was like, oh, what did he do? Maybe a big home run. Maybe Luis Robert started the turnaround tonight. And so I click on Luis Robert's name, and the first thing that comes up is it's one of the pitch charts from the MLB app, the MLB at Bat app, and six pitches thrown to Luis Robert. One of them was in the strike zone. None of the other five pitches were anywhere near the strike zone. Adam Studzinski, have you seen this? Have you seen this pitch chart?
I did. I know exactly what you're talking about.
None of the other five pitches were anywhere near the strike zone. It resulted in a strikeout for Luis Robert Jr. And a lot of people. Yes. And a lot of people reacting to that. Some of it just upset White Sox fans who were like, what happened to this guy? And the others, gamblers, who for some reason, you're putting your money in Luis Robert Jr.
It's a bad bet. Bad bet.
Yeah. I don't know what you're doing. A lot of people put on the plus one half for Luis Robert on home runs tonight, apparently. And he let them down. First of all, what are you even doing betting on Luis Robert Jr. at this point in the season? And secondly, can we stop this? I was reading an article today about Lance McCullers Jr. of the Astros, who had to hire security, 24-hour security, after online death threats. And a lot of baseball players and athletes have been dealing with this stuff the last couple of years since gambling has been legalized. And stop it, okay? I'm not going to tell you don't gamble. You know, people come on this show on the Circus Sports Hotline. It'd be hypocritical for me to do so. We have a show called BetMGM Tonight coming up here at 9 o'clock on the Score. It'd be hypocritical for me to say don't do any sports gambling, but it's not these athletes' faults when you make dumb bets, okay, and you lose money or more. Stop that. Stop going after athletes because they didn't do what you thought they would do and put money on. That's not their fault. That's your fault, okay? But I digress to Luis Robert Jr., and man, I know I'm not the first to ask this question, but what in the hell happened to Luis Robert Jr.? How is he this bad, man? How is he batting 187 with 5 home runs and 20 RBI. Now, the silver lining, very good defensive center fielder, one of the best in the league, and he somehow leads the league in stolen bases. I don't know how you bat 187 and lead the league in stolen bases. That's an anomaly. That's crazy. Somebody's got to do that math and tell me how that's even possible. But that aside, the defense and the stolen bases aside, I just don't know. Like, the worst thing that could happen for the White Sox this year was not even breaking last year's record in losses. The worst thing that could happen for the White Sox this year would be for Luis Robert to have the season that he's having right now. Because that's the one guy who has, like, otherworldly talent still left on this roster. And not that he's going to be part of a winning team for the Chicago White Sox. No. He was the one guy who has the type of talent that you could move for a few pieces. Like, I was talking about a potential Paul Skeens trade earlier and 4 or 5 prospects coming the other way. Now, he's probably never going to reach Paul Skeens' level of value on the trade market. But Luis Robert Jr. could be sort of the trade chip that gets the ball rolling on this rebuild, or at least starts some snowballing on this rebuild to add some prospects to some of the pitching prospects that they got coming up through their system. And just having, like, you couldn't have a worse season. And he just seems completely lost at the plate. And I just don't understand how that happens. And I don't know if that's a... I mean, Luis Robert has to own some of it. He's the guy going out there and swinging the bat and all that. But is it organizational failure as well in terms of their development of him? Is this between the ears for Luis Robert? Has he not ever gotten over some of the injuries? I can't wrap my head around a guy who in his second year in baseball hit 38 home runs, had 20 stolen bases, and an 857 OPS at the age of 25. When Luis Robert Jr. came up, and I'm a Cubs fan, and I couldn't take my eyes off the dude playing baseball. I loved watching Luis Robert play baseball that season, and I thought he was one of the, like, bright stars rising in this game, that he would be one of the faces of this league in the coming years. And he's having, like, the worst season he could possibly have. And now the White Sox, I don't know, man. I really don't know what you do with this guy. You heard the soundbite coming out through a translator, him saying he can't imagine anybody, you know, going after him or commanding his services with the year that he's having. And I don't understand it either. And even if I see some rumors that maybe the Mets would be interested in a Luis Robert Jr. because they need a center fielder, or maybe the Phillies, who also need a center fielder, would be interested in him. If you're the White Sox, I don't know that you can, even if a team comes a-calling, and maybe a team or two like the Mets or the Phillies comes a-calling for a Luis Robert Jr. because there is a world of talent still in there somewhere, and center fielders are hard to come by in Major League Baseball, especially ones with the type of talent that he has. But even if somebody comes a call and you're the White Sox, I don't know that you can trade this guy right now for whatever value you're going to get for him. Unless somebody comes to you and is really willing to overpay. If somebody comes to you and is willing to pay the type of price in terms of a trade package that you would have commanded 2 years ago for Luis Robert Jr., somebody wanted to bet on him in to that degree, okay, fine. But if somebody's giving you value for the way that he's playing now, I can't make that trade if I'm the White Sox.
Well, here's the flip side. Luis Robert has 2 years left on his contract.
Right.
However, those 2 years are club options. The team, so the White Sox can buy out the contract next season for $2 million. So they could just cut bait, or do you just take whatever you can get for him at this point?
I think.
You don't want to lose him for nothing, would be my presumption.
No, I think I keep on. I don't take the team buyout, and I keep on banking on well, maybe next year he snaps out of it and figures this thing out, and I can get good value for him in a trade or 2 years from now. Like, and especially with the payroll being what it is right now with this roster and probably will be for the coming years, I don't think it does. Look, the Reinsdorfs aren't cash strapped for hanging on to Luis Robert Jr. in hopes that he can figure it out and you can have a heftier asking price for him in the trade market next year or the year after. I think that's a gamble worth taking just because we've seen how good this guy can be, man. And if he shows that again, teams will be beating down your door and offering huge packages of prospects in return for Luis Robert Jr. And the White Sox need that. The White Sox need that more than they need the few bucks that they'll save by cutting bait, as Adam said there, and taking the team buyout at the end of this year. I think it's worth the gamble to just hang on to him for another year or two and see if he figures it out.
It's probably what you have to do. And this also goes back to the fact that they should have traded him before last season. They knew that they wanted to trade him. They knew that they were going to suck out loud last year. And for whatever reason, they refused to go ahead and move him. And so by waiting, you've now... This is why you shouldn't have waited, because this is what can happen. Now his value is basically zero.
But I think they were looking at it after the season he had last year and going, well, he can't be worse. His value can't go down anymore.
Yeah, well,
and it
no,
did.
I mean, I'm saying they should have traded him.
Oh, prior to 2024.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Not even this last offseason. Yeah, they obviously now they should have. But I understood. Yeah, now you had to hang on to him and let his value climb back up, ideally, which hasn't happened. So this is now the worst case scenario possible.
Yeah, I think you're. I think once you pulled the plug on contending. I think that's when you should have pulled the trigger on a Luis Robert trade. You're 100% right about that. But at this point, I think you're stuck with him, and I think you stay stuck with him until either the end of the contract, or until somebody overpays, or until he figures it out and you can actually ask for a hefty asking price in return for Luis Robert Jr. And I want to see him turn around just because I liked watching that guy play baseball when he was doing it at a high level, whether he's doing it for the White Sox or anybody else. I like watching people play baseball in that style and at that level. So I do hope he figures it out. We'll hit a quick break on the other side. Stay in baseball, but we'll talk some Cubs with Evan Altman of CubsInsider.com. He joins me, Rami Makhlouf, right after this on the Score Evening Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
This Pride Month, Risk has stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. Go get the Risk podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.